Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I wish to discuss with you ways to improve the church.
But let us have clearly in mind just what it is that we're discussing when we're talking about improving the church. The church has a divine side, and it has a human side. The divine side is from God. It is of God. It's perfect in design and every other respect. No man or group of men can improve on anything on the divine side of the church, whether we speak of its government, its work, its worship, its message, the terms of entrance, or any such thing. So much for those who clamor for change in the church in these areas. But the church is composed of human beings. And to be sure, there is the composition of a very special group of human beings, because they are people who have been washed clean of their sins by the blood of Christ, and they stand acceptable before God as God's spiritual children. But they're still mere people, subject to temptation and human frailties and weaknesses and shortcomings and personality peculiarities, having different talents, and all with the capacity of producing various kinds of trouble for themselves and for others. So when we speak of improving the church, it should be obvious we're talking about improving the human element of which the church is composed. There really ought not be any question in the mind of anyone that there's always room for improvement, even in the very best of the members. And let us suggest a few ways that we can improve ourselves and bring glory to God. And we should begin with self. This is probably where we will have the greatest influence if we really apply ourselves to the task. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, Paul said, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." In Galatians 6 and verse 1, he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Well, self-examination is an oft-repeated admonition in the Scripture. As one has said, "A better world begins with me." Tell yourself, since you are not perfect, that you would not really fit into a perfect church. Now, friend, if you were so fortunate as to find that perfect congregation, do you not realize it would cease to be so from the moment you became a member of it? Now, this is not a put-down, but simply a recognition of our own limitations. It is realism. We are the saved, but we are not sinlessly perfect, 1 John 1, 8 and 10. We have been born again, John 3, 3 through 5, but we are still growing as we are taught to grow, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We are in Christ, and are to be found faithful in Christ is our task, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And while we accept the fact that we are not perfect, we should never lean on that reality of our imperfection to dismiss the necessity of being rebuked and chastened when we go astray. We cannot dismiss our sins on any basis, and certainly not on the basis that, well, I'm just human. I'm only human. Well, while we are only human, this is all the more reason for us to constantly be trying to improve. Friend, we may be able to improve the church by being more careful about our criticisms. You know, some never seem to have much good to say about the church, but they are loaded with criticisms. Well, when we are tempted to criticize, we should accompany that criticism with prayer. We may not always be able to change others, but if we accompany our discovery of faults in others with prayer, we will certainly improve ourselves. Now, criticisms are often just, and they are deserving. They are even helpful, especially when properly given and properly received. But sometimes they are unjust. They can even become backbiting, 2 Corinthians 12 and 20. You know, it's not hard to find fault in others. We are taught to be ever alert regarding false doctrines that may arise even from among brethren. We should be willing to examine criticism against ourselves, regardless of what motive may have prompted it, because it just may well be that somebody sees something in us that needs to be corrected and improved that we have not seen in ourselves. But genuine love will provoke prayer even when we must take issue over various matters. We should never be so blinded as to think all criticism is bad. But let us be sure our motives for criticizing are pure and that our criticisms are helpful and just. And we can make improvements in the church by emphasizing the best, rather than just concentrating on the worldly and worst brethren. Now, this is not to say that we should ignore or pretend that evil does not arise among us. It does. We should ever be ready to deal with it and to rid the church of it if we can. But there are many good brethren, faithful brethren. We can accept the dedicated brethren, those who are sincere and working and developing a spiritual mind more and more. Hypocrisy is certainly in the church, and none who keep aware of the reality of it would deny it. The hypocrite is a servant of the devil and a powerful weapon in his arsenal. He is a pretender. He feigns piety. But every sin that is committed by brethren is not because of hypocrisy. It's not due to their intent to deceive. It's not because they are just pretending to be what they're not. Probably more often than not, the sins of brethren are due to ignorance and weakness, not having yet developed the spiritual strength that others may have already developed. The devil likes to point out the weaker brethren and never calls attention to the strong and faithful Christian. He likes to present the church to the world only in terms of those who are not as they ought to be. Of course, this is not an honest representation of the kind and quality of people that compose the church, however. Paul took note of faithful brethren in his letter to the Romans, in his letter to the Thessalonians, in the letters from the Lord to the churches of Asia, while he called attention to those who needed to make tremendous corrections. He also took note of the faithful, even the faithful few. Just remember that even the Lord had a Judas, but we also had a John and a James, and he had a Peter and a Paul. We do well to keep such Peter in the foreground of our thoughts as we consider the Lord's church. And we make improvement, do we not, when we do not blame others for our own faults. Now, while we have influence on one another, and often the influence may not be the best, our ultimate faithfulness is not dependent on others. We read in Scripture how Adam tried to blame Eve for his sin, and Eve tried to blame the devil. King Saul tried to blame the people. Aaron said the people were at fault for making the golden calf. Blaming others for our own faults has been characteristic of the human family. But facing our own personal accountability and responsibility is a sign of reaching a higher level of maturity. We each shall give answer for ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Now others may provoke us, but this still is no excuse for our wrongs. We are not to return evil treatment for evil treatment, Romans 12, 17 through 21. We have our own Christian duties, regardless of what others may or may not do. One way to improve the church, as we consider self, is when we consider some worthy work that is being neglected. And instead of asking why somebody does not do something, get busy doing it. Good works are often neglected, but too few ever seriously consider that they have just as much responsibility to see that a good work is done as does their neighbor. We should not feel we have to wait until we are asked or till we are assigned some work before we can be busy. Some seem to think that everything must be highly organized before they can do anything. And surely work done in the name of the church ought to have the approval of those who have the oversight. But there are so many personal and individual responsibilities we can discharge, if we would, and we can do it of ourselves and get on to the task. We don't have to wait for anybody to get at it. Self-initiative is a wonderful characteristic, and many, fortunately, exhibit that trait. And while the harvest is great and the laborers are few, as in Luke 10 and verse 2, we should make ourselves to be among the laborers. While some of the most productive Christian work that has ever been done has been done quietly and consistently by individual Christians who go about their life as faithful Christians without notoriety and fanfare, but they accomplish so much good because they engage in good, like the ant, without somebody having to push and shove them into action. Proverbs 6:6-8. We need to be more like Alvin York, the hero of World War I. When he was asked why he did what he did, he simply responded, and his language was not grammatically correct, but listen to what he said. Ask why he did the good things that he did in the fight that he fought. He said, I seen my duty and I done it. Well, friend, that is what we should look for. And we should see our duty, and we should do it. Would not this result in an improvement of the church? And once more, we can be considerate and respectful toward others, seeking opportunities to do something beneficial for somebody else, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. Have you really seriously studied that passage we sometimes call the Golden Rule, Matthew 7:12? The faithful practice of this principle would produce a rich and warm and loving brotherly fellowship that would be more akin to the heaven for which we long. In Colossians 2:12, it speaks of brethren being knit together in love. Romans 12:10, be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Ephesians 2:21 says we are to be fitly framed together. Oh, we need the good influence of each other, and we should seek the good companionship from brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And while we must stand for the truth, let us try to keep in mind the feelings of others and be as considerate as we can be toward the young as well as toward those who are older. We are, after all, of the same spiritual family, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Who could question the fact that the church would be better, the human side would be improved, if each Christian was more attentive to the welfare of all of God's children? May I mention one additional reminder as we recall certain things that happen in the church and ways that we can help and to improve, and that is to recognize that the church sometimes has certain problems. Well, this has always been the case, and as long as time remains, it will always be the case, because the church is composed of people, and imperfect people. Because their problems, however, is no reflection on the divine side of the church. Keep that clearly in mind. As stated, that part of the church remains perfect. It is not subject to change. Every age, however, faces challenges, and we are no different in that respect. We must learn to distinguish between truth and error, faith and opinion, sins and just personality peculiarities. We must resist the pressures from the world and stand together as one against that which seeks to destroy us all. We can and should uphold each other as each one upholds the truth. And unfortunately, I think this has been a failure of many brethren. They are so self-seeking and so seeking of prominence that they cannot even cooperate with faithful brethren who teach the same truths they do, and therefore alienate one against the other. And while churches have problems, we can try to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Problems cannot defeat us, friend, if we resist them. But we can defeat ourselves by letting problems get the best of us. With the help of God and by faithfully following His lead as given in His all-sufficient Word, we can make the spiritual progress and improvement that He expects of us. We can stand firm for the truth without wavering and still be loving at the same time. We can meet each day with hope and assurance and expectation and enter every noble and righteous task with the determination and resolve that we have. And in doing so, who can doubt that we will be making an improvement in the church? But certainly you improve the church when you become a member of it and live according to its teachings as is found in the Word. Friend, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and repent of our sins, confess with our mouths our faith in Christ as the Son of God, and to be baptized in water into Christ for the remission of sins. When one does that, the Lord adds him to the church, Acts 2:47, and we're to live faithfully therein. If you really want to improve the church, then be converted to Christ and enter into his body, which is the church, and then follow his directions as we sojourn toward heaven. That way we all can make an improvement in the church. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.